driving or nursing, you get this really kind of like crazy feeling, and it's like almost like anxiety and like anger and whatever. That happened to me. There's an actual name for it. I can't remember the name of it, but it happens. And it's like for a long time, probably at least the first 2 months, whenever it was any of that pumping or latching, like for the first like couple of minutes, I'm like really on edge and I don't know what that is. So that's dissipated in a lot of ways, but even now when I pump for the first like couple of minutes, I'm always just like, it's soul sucking, and I don't know how to describe that. I don't know why. Like, it's hard to explain why that soul sucking in nursing isn't. I don't know.
Also, for can you explain it?
The weirdest thing is, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Really quickly, for the non-birthing people who might be tuning in, can you explain what pumping is and why?
I will go ahead and
necessary?
Do that.
Yeah,
pumping is this thing that's going on all the time around you, and you have no idea. You walk into an office building, and they have some room in some weird corner that's not at all convenient, and so there's no one in that room because the person who actually needs to pump is in some random closet near to where they need to actually be working, and they're like in this closet watching videos of their kid, of their baby, because in my case, no milk would come out unless I saw not just a video of Little Eye, but a new video of Little Eye, because if I'd already seen it, it didn't bring up enough like mama emotions.
Yeah.
It had to be a new video where I was like, oh my god, he's so cute.
Yeah.
And then when I was like, oh, he's so cute, all this milk would come out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I'm thinking about my baby. He's
really?
And the milk shit. Come out. Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. When I get too excited about my baby, when I get too excited about Wolf, milk will come out. If she's crying, milk will come out.
Y'all just let your titty squirt?
Yeah. Any nursing person that you see, we're covered in milk at all times. I could be covered in milk now. I have no idea. Is it sweat or is it milk?
I had the most weird moments at work. I do like facilitation, so I was doing full rooms of facilitation, you know, 20, 30 people in a room. They're working, they're public facing employees that work for San Francisco public different institutions. And I'm teaching them, I'm facilitating, and then I'm like, every 3 hours, I'm like, I'm going to be stepping into this room and you do this activity. And then I like go into this room and I have this like weird machine attached to me and I'm like watching videos of my baby. And then like someone like didn't remember I was in there. I just walked in, you know, this dude, he like walks in, he's like, I'm like, these are things happening at all times. It's happening at airports, train stations. I played a weird music gig at like this like really hippie farm, like play urban farm. There was like a little closet that I figured out. Mm-hmm. I was doing it there. You know, you do it anywhere you can.
Yeah. No, it's very real, and it's so funny because it's such a random, like, the sound that it makes is annoying, but everyone likes to make little jingles to it, you know, because it's like, so like, my husband will like make little jingles, so my mom was making jingles to it, and I'm like, y'all motherfucker, can y'all not?
Everybody's beat right there. Beat right there. How inconveniently located or lack thereof of lactation rooms there are.
Yeah.
And like how poor
and understands this is happening.
Yeah. And how poorly stocked they are. Don't have proper equipment or like a sink or like a maybe even a fridge to store leftover milk, which is gonna be a lot of.
Yeah. No, it's very frustrating. But you know, it's one of those things that like there's a lot of things about parenthood that will shock you, surprise you, in everything. But one of the things that it does is it opens up so many different avenues of empathy that you thought you had, but really, like, once you experience, you really, really, really have. You know, but it just goes to show, you know, when you're fighting for things and you're fighting for better access and you're fighting for better education, better maternal resources to keep the fight strong, because what you think may be happening, like, you don't even know the scope of it.
Yeah.
Like, just, it's just you hear something just because you read about something until you're in it.
Yeah.
You know the scope of it. So if you're fighting for a ceasefire, if you're fighting for all that, fight harder than you think.
Yeah.
Because you have no idea.
Because it's as hard as you may think it is, it's so much harder.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I have a much lighter comment, but it's bringing it back to the urban legends.
Yeah.
Pump and dump, urban legend.
Huh? Really?
You don't have to dump it.
Oh, yes, that's
true. You actually just have to wait. So there's an urban legend, which is you have to wait a certain amount. If you drink alcohol after, and then you breastfeed or pump out your milk, the urban legend is that you have to dump out the milk. But the reality is that you just have a certain amount of hours you wait, and then it's going to cycle out of your body. You don't have to throw away much of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to remove it from your body. It's just going to cycle through your body.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually, and I'm glad I knew that, being my sister who's had kids, and I brought like testing strips. They make testing strips for your drinking.
Yeah.
And so on the testing strips, like you can dip it in the milk, and it'll show you like what percent based on like the color of it, which is so helpful because you're like, yeah, man, I deserve like a glass of wine or whatever after whatever day. But your metabolism is weird, so you just may not know how much is actually in the milk. So it gives you that kind of peace of mind. That's important.
I already take a lot of alcohol. Like my sister-in-law, her and one of her friends at the time, they both were pregnant, and they both had their babies around the same time. And then one night after they had their babies and the babies were with other people, they just proceeded to get ridiculously drunk to see how drunk did they need to be for it to actually come out in the milk.
Yeah.
And they said it took a lot, like they blacked out.
Well, I think it totally depends. Like, for me, it depends on the day. It depends on how much I've had to drink. It but also depends on if I've eaten, how much water I had to drink.
Yeah.
Like, you're constantly dehydrated because while you're breastfeeding. And it's wild.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, my God, I'm so thirsty all the time because you're...
Looking.
Yeah. but, no, it's really fascinating. And I'm, again, very excited to keep talking about this. But shall we get into some more music?
Yeah, let's get into our next segment.
All right. So we're going to... go into
drop that beat, baby.
Okay, relax. That song is called "Hey Ma" by Chance the Rapper, Lily K, and Peter Cottontail.
Hey mama, it's that beat that makes you groove, mama. Get on the floor, let's get booty, mama.
It's not that. It's not what you're saying.
Stretch your wallet. These niggas gotta pay me for taking a year from college. Go on, get your nails polished. Stylist for your eyelids and a pilot for your mileage. For them frequent flights to your islands. Miss Brown and Miss Palette. Little boy then grown up. Little voice then blown up. Little class that on us. Hey, my, hey, mama, Jen. Gox gave me another chance. Rocks gave me another line. Rocks gave me another fan. 7730. Kanye was a 3-0 down the street from D-Rhodes, was practicing his free throws. Shout out to that Ghost Shrimp, shout out to King Giro, shout out that Miss Moody, Auntie Tony, that my heroes. We gon' get this paper. Come on. You gon' see us later. Monica and Ava, thanks for all the favors. Got my money saved up. We gon' get this paper. You gon' see us later. Monica and Ava, thanks for all the favors. Got my money saved up.
Hey, I wanna thank
October 92, when you pushed me out, straight up, it was only right that I made a song about you, straight up. Ain't no telling where I'd be if I went without you. Wish I would've stayed at school, but I dropped out. You taught me how to be strong, gotta give praise. When the times got hard, you always made way. Even though I barely got the new change, you made sure the kid kept a temp fan. And you kept my PlayStation with some new games. Then you bought me freezing cups with your loose chain. My daddy never was around, that nigga too late. I think that's why I quit school and started to shoot things. My mama taught me how to tie my shoes. My mama taught me how to cook my noodles. Mama told me don't spend all my money with the jewelers. I bought some real estate, plus I'm investing in my shooters. Had to write a letter to my mom, dude. I know you proud of me, but I'm proud too. You the only woman I get some vibes to. I'm still your baby, even though I got a child too. I paid it off, ain't no mortgage or no rent, dude. Yeah, she got a Range Rover and a Benz too. It's a hard job, but women raise men too. Why you never left my side, and I thank you. I see you struggle, and I think you left a scar. I did some things when I was young that broke your heart. I'm the one that stole the cookies out of the jar. I'm the one that went and stole the neighbor's car. Times got hard, started selling hard. Before I see you stressing, I'ma break the law. I was selling weed, I never mowed the lawn. Commit a burglary and take it to the pond. When I went to YDC, you was there. If I had a school hearing, you was there. So bad when you had a Ford minivan. Let me drive the city trans, baggy at your bows and some Timberlands. Me and my baby mama was beef and you didn't give a damn. You didn't never pick a side, told me be a man. I'ma raise my kids, nothing like my dad. I'm a better dad, you the best mama I could ever have. I had to write a letter to my mom, dude. I know you proud of me, but I'm proud too. You the only woman I get some vibes to. I'm still your baby, even though I got a child too. I paid it off, ain't no mortgage or no rent, dude. Yeah, she got a Range Rover and a Benz too. It's a hard job, but women raise men too. Why you never left my side, and I thank
to perform.
And we're back. You're listening to Black on Black on Black. And this is D-Fantastic. Along with Queen Noir. If y'all could see what was next to me, to be both disappointed, amused, and agitated.
Putting in that good work.
Putting in that good work.
To what?
Little eyes making an appearance.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Who said that?
Barcelona. All other teams are trash.
All trash. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So for this section, we're gonna. We're gonna get more into like the actual journey of pregnancy. So I have some questions that I'm very much curious, because I know you both had very different pregnancy journeys, and in some ways probably very similar, right? And so just to start, like, what was the conception journey like for you
both? And nobody want to hear that.
Yeah, let's go.
Not for me.
Let's do it.
From what I've understood, despite how you may present, you got pregnant for free in the hetero fashion.
It was for free.
You fucked around and found out.
You know what's crazy about that, though? Is even though I did that and I was married and all of that, it was still wild telling my parents that I got pregnant, because I was like, no, they know. Just kind of disappeared, right? Like, just immaculate conception. Like, just like, oh, yeah, cool. Just, you know, fairy dust, and I'm pregnant. But no, it was like, oh.
Now they know you be throwing that thing back.
Shut up.
Upside down.
Boys hurt me.
Inside out. And round and round.
Some real shit. For those who don't know, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. My mother actually had it as well. And so, you know, that one of my main concerns was, like, if this doesn't happen naturally, like, you know, within 6 months or so, like, we don't know. Like, we don't know what that process may look like, right? You know, because I started later than my mother. My mother had her first kid in her middle 20s, and I was starting in my early 30s, which isn't late, even though they call it geriatric pregnancy. It's still like, okay, it's a little different, right? And so I'm
just...
Can
you believe they call it geriatric pregnancy?
I thought that was when she turned 40. That isn't 30.
I'm like, if you're going to call it a geriatric pregnancy, give me my pension already.
Yeah. Bro.
Yeah, no. I'm done working.
Yeah. No. Yes.
By attacking y'all like that?
Very annoying and very stupid. But I was just feel so fortunate that I got to have the natural way. You spend less money on it that way. And yeah, honestly, it was literally at the 6 month mark. I remember I was in home at Texas, pregnant. I had no idea, but I was talking to my sister about it, because she was like, you know, well, I know that, you know, you're on your way, following your wedding in July of the year before. Like, you know, what's the plan if we don't know until then? I was like, I don't know. I mean, we'll just see. But little did I know, I was fully pregnant at the time.
That's right.
Wow. Which makes sense, because I cried about that afterwards.
Sorry, what? You cried when you found out?
No, I started talking with my sister, and I remember I was like driving home, and I was feeling emotional, you know, and I was just, you know, I was just like,
like crying for no reason.
Yeah.
Not for no reason. But it was like, God, I was like, why am I feeling so emotional?
Yeah. You
know? And then I also was sad because, for those who don't know, like, my family is mostly in Texas. Only have one family in California that isn't even here. They're in San Diego. So I felt very far away. It was just a lot.
It was just like all of that.
And I was pregnant. So, yeah. You know, but that was my conception journey in a nutshell.
I'm still a child.
A pervert.
Am I a pervert?
Yo, you a pervert.
Or am I a mother?
You a pervert at heart. That's what you are.
But most mothers are perverts.
You are. My mom definitely.
You have to get here somehow.
Ava,
so what about you? What do you feel like your journey was?
My conception journey, I feel like I was pregnant for 3 or 4 years because I mostly always knew I wanted to be a parent and also carry my child. Mm-hmm. I also, the person who helped me be a parent, who 50% of my child's DNA is this person.
Sure.
You know, we knew that we were going to do that specific thing together, the conception thing.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that for years, like for, 11, 12 years, you know, it was just like, we didn't know what it all would turn out in terms of like, you know, when and, you know, what is the actual constellation.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that we had to figure out along the way and lots of bumps on that road. But in terms of the fact that we were going to create a human,
mm-hmm.
that was something that we basically just knew since, you know, before I even knew I was queer.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was going to help this gay man be able to have a baby. It turns out it was the other way around, so that's kind of funny. You know, just like one of those crazy stories. But basically, when it got more real, it came down to a lot of physical processes that were complicated. I also have polycystic ovaries. I also had fibroids. I had a big cyst on my ovary. So I had to get multiple surgeries. I mean, to create this human.
I remember when you were going through those surgery after surgery.
And then, so there was all these surgeries to kind of make sure that basically remove this cyst, and then while they were in there, they got the fibroid out, and then I had to go in for this other thing, and it was just like, then I had to wait for my uterus to heal, and then before that, actually, the actual embryo creation, so they like overstimulate your ovaries to create as many eggs as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, people are hearing this on a radio, so I'm like a pretty, like, you know, genderqueer, I would say I'm, you know, not butch, but definitely like somewhat masculine of center person. Anyway, the day that I had the most eggs, I just really wanted to wear pink. I felt like a big cotton candy. And I was just like, pink. I like colors.
Yeah.
And then like, I went on a date with a cis man. It was like really funny. It was like a casual date with a friend. And then the doctor was like, by the way, if you accidentally go ahead and decide to have sex with a man right now, the likelihood that you get pregnant naturally is extremely high, so be careful.
Huh.
And I was like, I was like, that wasn't the plan. So I was like, no, I was like, we're not going to do that today.
Yeah. Not today.
And then the actual conception was really incredible because it was my mom's birthday. This had been a work in process for years, and my mom said it. She was like, so all these things have to line up, you know, like your period and this and that. You don't get to pick. You don't get to be like, I'm going to have a Capricorn.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it works. Even though people want to do that, it's not true.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's like, okay, and then I went in, and it happened on the first try, and I literally saw my whole life, past and future, go in front of my eyes. Like, I was, it was like IVF, like open legs. They just put the embryo in me.
Yeah.
But it's the most conscious process possible. I mean, I know what this is and it works, what's going to happen. And just, I had this like my entire life.
Wow.
It was like what they say about dying.
That's a really good point. Something that I think is not talked about enough. I don't know what the right phrase is for what I'm trying to say, but maybe that isn't discussed enough is the transformation in the human being that you are now. Like the D-Fantastic that existed before pregnancy was a totally, not totally, but it was a very different person than the D-Fantastic that is today. You know, and you have time to go through that, your loss. I mean, you know, there are times that I cried about it, you know, because you're just like so overwhelmed with this. It's like, sometimes I look back on photos of the ages of between, you know, 18 and 25. I'm like, wow, like that woman, like just is not foreign, but it's like, it's just so like, it's like you're gone. And it's not bad, but it's just so different, you know? And it's honestly, like anyone who's listening here who maybe is going through the first pregnancy or is about to or anything, it is okay to mourn that loss. I think that this is a safe space to say it is okay to mourn that while also being happy that you're going into a different journey. Like, you can do both.
Yeah, both can be true.
You know, you can totally do both. It's kind of like if you're a homeowner and you are selling your old home to get a new home, like, this new home may be better in so many different ways. It's okay to be sad about that loss of space, that loss of, like, all those memories and there that you were experiencing. It's okay to be sad about that while also happy about something.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
You know, like, because what you were existing in those moments and the memories and that are gone, like, but you're moving into a different area, and it really is okay. And I have to kind of, like, you know, I had to come to that moment for myself, and it was hard to kind of not share, but it's like it's hard to explain that because everyone is like, oh my god, like just be happy. This doesn't happen for everybody. Just be happy. And I'm like, I am, but I'm kind of panicking. But also, this is great. But also, what, you know? And then at other times, especially if you are, you know, as a birthing person and you are in a relationship with someone who's never given birth and may not ever, like, I'm not saying they get thrown into the fire once you give birth, but, like, you have had time, quote-unquote, to kind of get adjusted to this, and then all of a sudden, bam, they have a baby that they need to take care of, and sometimes they don't adjust well. I got very lucky and very fortunate that my partner is incredibly helpful in all of that.
He's here right now.
He's here right now, actually feeding my baby, our baby. I forget that he helped. I just don't think it's fair. I'm like, you help in the most fun of ways. Are you joking right now?
Like, where's the blood?
Where's the sweat and tears?
Mobbing.
Yeah. Where is the vomit in the middle of the night? You know, like, come on. No, but in all seriousness, like, he's amazing. But I see, unfortunately, sometimes people just fall apart. And it's frustrating because it's like, hey, I've been telling you this for months and months and months that this is happening and I'm preparing and I'm losing myself and I'm mourning myself. And then all of a sudden, baby's here and you're freaking out.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild and annoying when I see that happening.
I mean, there's that saying that the person who's having the baby becomes a parent the moment that they find out that they're pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And the other person who isn't going through that experience becomes a parent once that child is actually there.
Bro, I found out I was pregnant on a day, on a football Sunday, by the way.
Damn. So
it was football Sunday.
I was only one football. It's called soccer.
American handball. It was American handball Sunday.
Not American handball.
And I had my ciders ready. I had some weed. I was ready to get fucking high. And then my husband's like, hey, take a pregnancy test. I was like, ugh. And then
he just kind of sounds like,
you ruined my day. I should have taken it tomorrow. Why are you ruining this for me? So I had to fully be sober and all of that. So I was just like, oh man, you know, no, I'm kidding, but it was of shocking, but you're, what I'm saying that is that is exactly right. It was right then, right there, I'm pregnant, like, it's time. It's time to be, not serious, but it, things have changed, you know?
Yeah. And then, I guess, what was the second question to ask? Sorry, I had a brain moment. Well, I guess this might be, I one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about the stimulation of your ovaries. We're getting real graphic
today. I know.
I remember, I think I met up with you at Golden Gate Park, and you were flying high because they told you that you produced so many eggs that you could have populated a football team.
Oh, no, the embryos. No, I made so many embryos. I still have them in the freezer. They were like, you could start a football team.
Like, they were really excited for
they
you.
They really were. I was like, oh.
That's amazing.
One.
Shall we get in some more music?
Yeah, let's get some
great.
More. Yeah. And then we'll come back for our last segment.
This is how we do it.
What's the first song coming?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to be listening to Isn't She Lovely by Steve Wonder.
Because Fela is the most beautiful baby I've ever... Oh, F. Somebody.
Wolf.
Most beautiful baby I've ever seen. Always like my babies.
into this new stage, which is the fourth trimester, and
I'll say, just on reference to what you just said, I just want to give a big shout out to Eli, to Little Eyes Village. Because, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. I think that's the case for every child.
Yeah.
But it does take a whole other level when you don't have, you don't have, like, grandparents in the area. There's no second parent in the area. ¿Vos posar tú? Venga, una mica la shop. So I'm just blown away because the Little Eye has a village, and there's really important village people. Especially there's one friend here who is someone who spends a lot of time with Eli with Little Eye.
Yeah,
Little Eye has a lot to say. So welcome to say any words if you want.
Get on up here.
Are you down?
Get on up here, big O.
Oh, the big O.
Hola. I just wanted to say how grateful I am to be here and to, like, hear all of these stories, because, yeah, there are things that I didn't know about being a mother in nursing, so
yeah.
It's great to be here, and I know it's, well, I don't know, but I can only imagine how it must be to, like, to give birth to a kid and then, like, to raise him or her.
So what's it like to have a deep relationship with a little one?
It's great.
It's rewarding in a way that is different in other relationships, right?
Yeah. It's very moving and very interesting to me as a grown up to see a person becoming an individual with, like, independent thoughts and personality, and there have been moments where I just have like an awareness of that more than in others, you know?
Yeah.
They give you this look of, like, that means so much. I don't know. It's very strange, too.
Yeah. No, it's strange and weird, but really cool.
Yeah.
I felt that way with my nieces and my nephew. They were the first kids in my life that I was like, oh, like, these are, like, really kind of cool, like, things. Prior to that, you know, as a 15-year-old, I had no, kids were just, like, children. There's no one younger than me in my family, so when my sister had my first niece, I was like, whoa, this is actually really cool. And my first niece, we spend a lot of time together, and it's awesome. I mean, it's totally awesome. It's different than being a parent, but it is it's really, really cool. And my first niece is literally going to college next year, and I'm like, what the fuck? Get the hell out of here.
No, when did that happen?
Get out of here. It's so weird. Sad.
My first niece just texted me on her Apple Watch, and I was like, what is going on?
You're still a child. Get out of here.
She texted me on her Apple Watch. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's trippy. I have also a cousin who's now in college, but I saw my his mom going through all stages of pregnancy and I don't know, it's great. I come from a very big family in Mexico, so there were always babies around and kids of all ages, and my mom has four sisters, and most of them are very, very maternal individuals. So I think I get to learn how to be around kids from being with a lot of a big family that is very close.
Yeah.
And I also think grandmothers play a very awesome, important role in babies at time. And I'm So I wanted to give a shout out to my grandma.
Aww. Yeah.
Shout out to abuela.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, we're about towards the end of the segment. Agua, is there anything you kind of would like to just end on or anything you wanted to say?
That was what I wanted to say. And
that's
good. I crammed it in because it was really important to me, because what I'm doing out here in San Francisco is an extremely expensive place. That's really special to me, and for anyone
who wants to live here, there's there's a reason we live here. It's not easy to stay here, and that's been possible thanks to all this, like, beautiful network of support, so I really wanted to say that, but I actually do want to make sure that we get to hear about the entrance into the fourth trimester by D.
Yeah, I will say, then I'll say this quickly. It has been fascinating. I think it was very hard the first 6 weeks when, at that point, she was just pretty much like a screaming potato, and then the whole breastfeeding journey was really weird and crazy. But I think it wasn't a real big turning point to me until the first time she smiled. I was like, oh, you're a person. And it's like everything just came crashing down in a really wonderful and beautiful way. And since then, I've been like super in love. Not to say that I wasn't, but it's just been extremely different. And I think the fourth trimester really is that. You're still so connected. And it's going to be really interesting to kind of see where life takes us. But I'm just so glad to be here. And I'm just so glad for all of us to have you know, the experiences that we have. And, you know, a big shout out to my mom. I know she's listening. You know, love you, Mom. And, you know, I get it. But thank you all for listening to Black on Black on Black.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Next up, we got John Hess.